County in Westgrove. And also RGC. Many of you are here because this is your church. You love it deeply. But the thing that we all have in common tonight is that there's this deep love for God and there's this excitement for whatever he's doing here. This is truly the beautiful reality of being Presbyterian, that we actually have churches that are there who have our backs. Like I have a Will Stern, wherever he is, there he is, a church planner in Garnet Valley. He's here to support me in this. Nick Owens, RUF at University of Delaware, is here tonight to support this as well. And I have other friends, other pastors who wanted to be here. Jay Harvey from Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Newark, but his son was in the hospital yesterday, but he wanted to be here. So there's just this excitement for whatever God is doing here in Westchester. But without much further ado, I want to dive into our time tonight. And my notes, my presentation, is divided into two parts. Getting to know us and getting to know the church planting dream. So those are the two parts. So let's think about getting to know us first. But I would like my better half to kick off our time. But before that happens, can someone turn off the back lights? There's just a toggle switch right down there. It's beautifully marked. Thank you, RPC. It just says back lights. And thank you, Joshua. Back lights. Beautiful. And it should be slide number two from there. Oh.
Hi, I'm Jennifer, and I'm really sorry that I can't be with you here today, but I really wanted to just take a few minutes and share a little bit about who I am. So I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and I have one younger sister, and I wanted to share just a short story from my childhood, and that was I always liked, during the summertime, to be the teacher to my sister, and she always had to be my student. And so even when I was growing up, I loved learning, I loved teaching, and that's part of who I am today. And that seen in what I studied in college was education, became a teacher, and then for the last 10 years, I've actually been working at Westinghouse Electric Company in their training and learning group, doing creative design and facilitation there. So that's a large part of who I am today. The other piece of me, which is mostly seen outside of work, is really that I love being active. And so whether it's outdoors or indoors, whether it's playing volleyball, taking exercise classes, or running, I really enjoy doing things with Robbie and other people that gets me moving. The only part of that that's had to change a little bit in recent months is that I'm actually expecting a baby in November, and so I've had to moderate my activity a little bit. But Robbie and I are both really excited about that, about this next stage of our lives. So now I'm going to tell you a little bit about our church planting journey. I grew up in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, was in church my whole life, and really grew up with a great understanding and knowledge of God. Then I went to college and continued that learning and understanding. I met Robbie at Grove City, and we both really shared a love for God and a love for his people. So when we graduated from college and got married, we settled into our local church and got involved in the ministry there. We were involved in youth group, we were involved in the young adults group, and actually I even led our children's ministry at New Covenant as well. Robbie had the opportunity to go on staff at a church plant nearby, and this was really my first opportunity to experience what it meant to be involved in a church plant. And from the very beginning, there was great needs for us to be involved. And so we, along with the other people that were in the church plant, really dove in getting involved with the setup, the teardown, the hospitality, the nursery, Bible studies, and really the routine of life in what we call missional communities. And it was there that I really saw God working in my life and in the lives of others in bringing us together and how we share life with each other, but also in helping us to reach out to other people, people that were marginalized or just not included in other churches, would feel welcome into our communities and would come be a part of this new ministry opportunity. This experience confirmed that God was calling us to church plant, and so we began looking for opportunities to follow that call. At first, we thought that was going to be in Pittsburgh,
But soon afterwards, we discovered that God was calling us elsewhere. And so today, we're in Chester County, following God's lead, trying to figure out where He's calling us next.
I can look at that adorable face every day. And it's a blessing I do. That's Jennifer, and sadly she's not here. But so after Jennifer and I got married, my first job out of college was actually teaching high school Bible, and I did that for 4 years. And but we were worshiping in the church that she grew up in, and that was until 2012. And that's at that point I had this unique opportunity to go on staff at a local church plant, and so I embraced that opportunity because. In college, I felt this call, this growing interest to church plant. One of my college professors just introduced that entire world to me, and I've never been able to stop dreaming about it. But so that was in 2012. That little church plant, the first Sunday we were there was Sunday evening on Mother's Day. I don't know what Westchester's like on Mother's Day on Sunday evening. But our worship attendance was 12 people. And when I left, there were 65 people there in the pews. So we saw God work very mightily in Pittsburgh at Grace and Peace. But during our time there, we went to our denomination's Church Planting Assessment Center in 2014. And thank you, Josh. And so as we were there, like we went to assessment, like we were... we went, it was a redemptive time, and we were recommended to go out and church plant. And we had many conversations with friends in Pittsburgh, and it became very clear the Lord didn't want us to plant church there. So then I had conversations about with folks in Portland, Oregon, in Baltimore, in Atlanta, in Chicago, and with Tony Stevens in Westgrove. And the Lord brought us here to Chester County. And so that's how we got here. And that was just over a year ago. But as I rehearse some of this, like it's kind of hard for me to really communicate how much, like really how deeply I love church planting, because it's vital to really what the Lord has done in my life. Because I grew up in a Christian home. I've known Jesus every single day of my life, and praise be to God for that. My parents have walked with the Lord for such a long time, and my dad was a pastor, and they've just fed me biblical truth day after day after day after day. But what I did in my own sinful heart is that I would take that truth and just take it and use it as a mallet to hit over people's heads. I would just take it and just... fill up my chest and just be proud. And it was in college, through the ministry and teaching of Ian Duguid, who's now the Old Testament professor at Westminster here in Philly. It was through his ministry that I really started to apply the gospel to my own heart and experience the gospel in my life. And at that time, Ian was planting a church. And I was like, hey, I want to be a part of this. And he planted a church. And if you would just fast forward like a few 2 years, my parents had a crisis of faith, and my dad disqualified himself from the ministry, and he said to us, he said, "Hey, you know what? We're done with the church. Like, we'll go to worship, but we'll never be members of a church again." And that really broke my heart. It really did. Again, but if you hit the fast forward button, 4 years, Thanksgiving Day, my dad and my mom. They're like, hey, guess what? We're going to join a church. It just blew me away. I'm like, what? And here, the church they were joining was the church that Ian planted, the church that I was a part of in college. And so from my perspective, I have personally witnessed how church plants can renew people's faith. I have seen church plants deepen people's faith. And through my ministry at Grace and Peace, I've seen how people who have been completely forgotten by the church to actually come to new faith for the first time. It's truly been a beautiful thing. So just thinking about this question of who I am. It's like, and why I'm here before you today. Like, it's hard for me to separate those two questions. Like, who am I and why do I love church planting? Because it's like, the reason why I find Jesus so compelling is because what Jesus continues to do in my life day after day after day, it is his redemptive work in my life that wants me to follow him tomorrow and on Saturday and on Sunday. It's what it's the work of Christ in this world that just gives me such great enthusiasm for what he's doing here. And I see that happening in Westchester. And so this is kind of the third point. Why Westchester? The truth is, God has designed every single one of us in a unique way. We have this personal affinity that if you're moving to a new place, because for 30 years of our lives, both Jennifer and I grew up around Pittsburgh. Like, we're blue collar. We enjoy Pittsburgh Steelers. Why Westchester? There's a car one block down there. It has a Steelers sticker on it. It's beautiful. I'm in dangerous territory, I know. Actually, technically, in 1943, the Eagles and the Steelers were the same team. So I'm not saying anything about the Penguins or the Flyers. So about why Westchester? Like, the reality is, as I have said, the Lord gives us, he makes each and every single one of us for places. That we are called to really love the place that God has put us. But there's a certain affinity that Jennifer and I have that really just resonates with Westchester. We love a place that we can walk on the sidewalk, where we can get to know our neighbors. And like Pastor Peter Dorfler lives a block from me. Joel and Margie Commanda, who used to be here, they live three blocks from me as well. And I'm able just to walk to a coffee shop. I'm able to walk and see neighbors and help other people. I'm able to do that. And so, like, that's really Westchester. It is a great place that you can live, work, and play. And I have a slide to kind of prove that. And these are some statistics on Westchester. So if we want to think about planting a church in Westchester, it makes great sense. And here's five reasons why. There we go. So the first, there's three icons. First icon is a graduation cap. Westchester University is the fourth largest university in the metro area of Philadelphia. And there's only one college ministry on campus. 13,000 people, one campus ministry, Campus Crusade. That's something that needs to be dealt with. And like that's a lot of people. And of those 13,000 people, 70% of them are commuters. Like, I have friends in Oxford who commute up to Westchester. Friends in Pottstown, or not friends, friends of friends in Pottstown, and friends in Phoenixville who commute down to Westchester. It is truly a campus for the entire region. It's an essential part of the fabric of not only Westchester, but also Chester County. The second icon is a household. In the greater Westchester region, there are 43,000 households. That's a lot of people. And specifically within the borough limits, 17,000 people. So what we find about Westchester is that it is a magnetic pole that just pulls people to come to Westchester. It pulls people to live here. Third, the briefcase. This blew my mind. 199,000 people work in Westchester, in the greater Westchester region. I forgot that statistic from the Chamber of Commerce. I would love to know where folks are working, because there's only like 2,700 parking spots within the borough. Again, that's a statistic from the Chamber of Commerce. And this is something I saw on Facebook, but 15 businesses in Westchester, the specific borough, were voted the best of the western suburbs. The best of the main line. So that just demonstrates that there's this degree of excellence that people want to come to Westchester for and just eat and just play. The first time I ever came to Westchester was for the Iron Hill Twilight Criterium. It was so awesome just seeing all the cyclists go around and around and around for like 4 hours straight. It's very dizzying. really was. And now I get to come up here quite a bit because our baby boy, his doctors are at Chester County Medical. So we're spending more and more and more time up here. And so, like, all these things, Westchester is this place to live, to work, to play. And we're finding that we have this deep affinity. And, like, we really, really, really deeply enjoy spending time here. But the fifth reason is that it has to do with the Great Commission. And this is the ultimate reason in my mind. Jesus Christ says, "And you will be my witnesses to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." This is part of Judea. This is part of Samaria. This is part of the ends of the earth. We need to go to our backyard, to the next city over, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus commands us just to be his witnesses wherever we are at. So that's just a little bit about me. But before I continue, what questions do you have for me? That's just a lot of biography. So do you have any questions for me right now? That is perfectly okay. You can ask me afterwards if you do. But let's see. Yes, Jason.
What is the parking solution?
What is the parking solution? Well, I'm a cyclist, so I would bike everywhere. I have a pin in my wrist, so you can tell your children that I am slow, becoming very close to being Darth Vader. There's a metal pin in my wrist. I don't know. So that just goes to show you how urbane Westchester is. It's bizarre. At least it's not Broad Street down in South Philly where people park in the middle of the road. Anyways, so let's move on to the second point. But thank you for that icebreaker, Jason. Second part. So what's the vision? Now, my current title, my current role is the church planting resident of Heritage Presbytery. And Heritage Presbytery is the entirety of the Delmarva Peninsula and a little slither of Chester County. So my job is literally to dream up church planting scenarios and to study them. And that, so we've looked at Downingtown. We've looked at Rehoboth Beach. We've looked at Georgetown, Delaware. And we've looked everywhere but our backyard, and that's Westchester. And so this is a dream that the Lord's been putting on my heart for years. And it's been developing, it's been evolving, it's been maturing. And this is where I'm really thankful to my time with Stillwaters, with Peter Dorfler and Tony Stevens, to Jason Seek at City Church, and conversations with Darren. Because there's a little bit of everything of those churches in this vision. But so let me just get started. So next slide, please, Owen. This would be a vision statement for Ironworks Church. So the vision of Ironworks is this. The Ironworks Church is committed to having an open door to anyone who is interested in knowing more about the way of Jesus by dwelling with us and seeing how the reign of God transforms every aspect of life. And so right here with this vision statement, it just goes to show you that this church, Ironworks Church Westchester, would be a missionary church for one simple reason. Because our God is a missionary God. He is the greatest missionary who, in all of history, in all of eternity, he's a missionary. In fact, that is why he has sent his church to the ends of the earth. We are to be his witnesses. We are to be his heralds. We are to be the ones who pronounce the good news of the kingdom. That Jesus has come and he is renewing all creation with him. And so this vision is commits the church to being an open door to anyone who wants to know about Jesus. But it's also a church that is committed to growing and becoming more and more like Jesus, where we put every single part of our lives, everything, under the reign of Jesus, where we are currently being transformed and renewed into his image. So this is the vision statement for the church. But why do we do this? And this is a mission statement. Two slides, Owen, right here. Our mission is to join God in bringing about his kingdom in Phoenixville, Westchester, and surrounding neighborhoods. This is the mission statement of Ironworks Phoenixville. I love it. Embrace it fully. And this is also a mission statement that actually commits us to plant other churches. Where are those surrounding neighborhoods? But one of the fundamental things that we are taught to pray by our Savior Jesus Christ is to pray the clause, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." We are to pray that God's kingdom would be seen in our lives and in our communities, which is Westchester, West Goshen, Exton, Downingtown, Thornbury, all over this region. That's the mission of the church. And so that's the mission. But what would make this church unique from other churches? And these would be core values. Our core values, there's five. We are formed by God's story. So we are a people who are formed by Scripture. Secondly, we are freed by the gospel. That we are freed to be new people. Like a verse that's been on my mind a lot recently is this. You are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And I'm reminded of other verses. That you are dead to sin and alive to Christ. That you are the aroma of Jesus. Like, this is a beautiful thing because we are able to live resurrection lives that Jesus has brought us because he has conquered sin and death and evil. So we can begin to see the new creation in our own lives. So we are formed by God's story. We're free to be different. And then thirdly, we are gathered into a new family. God gathers us to worship. He gathers us as his children to have fellowship with one another. But he also gathers us to be his missionary people. And so we are sent out together. This is the fourth thing. We are sent out together to be missionaries. That's why we're here. We are Jesus's witnesses wherever we live. And so the aim of our charge, this is Paul's words to Timothy, to love and have a pure heart. And so here's the fifth core value, that we are missionaries who are called to love people and places and things. These are the five core values. These are the five things that would make the church plant unique from other churches. So that's what these core values do. Then also, core values, next. So how are we going to do this? And this is a simple strategy. Every church does this. Every church. Worship, discipleship, and evangelism. This is how I would want to put it. That regarding worship, there would be substantial yet accessible worship. What I mean by that is that as we have seen just earlier today, that Becky and Drew did an awesome job in leading us in worship. There were these beautiful hymns. There were these beautiful contemporary songs that were done with excellence that really nourished my faith. Like, Be Thou My Vision. It's a beautiful Irish hymn. By the way, my mother's from Ireland, so that's where the red hair and the red beard comes from. So, gotta represent. A little excursus there. So, like, there would be substantial and accessible worship. And the accessibility really comes from the music, because music can be this means to communicate and deliver truth, not just to our minds, but also to our hearts. And so music has this missional purpose that really communicates God's truth to our whole being. So substantial yet accessible worship. Because we want to assume, this has to be an assumption, it's an assumption Paul makes in 1 Corinthians, that non-Christians are going to be in our midst, in our worship, in our small groups, everywhere. We have to make that assumption. And so Paul says we need to be sensitive to that and communicate God's truth in a way that is clear. So that's where the accessibility comes in. But worship also needs to build us up in the faith. So there's some tension right there. The second thing is missional communities. And Jennifer mentioned this in her video. Mission, like I believe that the primary vehicle for ministry are community groups. Period. The community groups are the primary vehicle of ministry. If you just read the New Testament, you see this clause time and time and time and time again. It says one another, love one another, outdo one another, It's a long list. And so we see this idea that there's supposed to be this rich Christian fellowship. And so how Jennifer put it in her video is that missional communities are a place where we can share life with one another, and we see the everyday stuff of life right in front of us. So as I share my life with folks in my community group, that they can begin to see how I tick. But I don't just see them on, like, Thursday nights. When I do see them on Thursday nights, I see them on Sunday, yes. But then also, like, yesterday, I had a prayer time with one guy in our community group. Today, I had a discipleship time with one of the women in our group. So there's these, like, missional communities truly spill out into the everyday part of our lives. So those are missional communities. And thirdly, is intentional Christian formation. I wrote it this way intentionally, very, very purposefully, but this takes the Christian education aspect of the church seriously in a whole different ways, in many different ways. Because worship, the worship of God's people, is supposed to nourish us, supposed to give us the vision for God's kingdom and what he's doing in the world. That, so worship is part of this. The liturgy of the church is a part of this. Missional communities are a part of this. But there's also, there needs to be space to talk about prayer, to talk about spiritual warfare, evangelism. And so my role at Stillwaters for the past year, my current role at City Church, is to doing Christian education. It is paramount for the Christian life. It's paramount. So it's an essential part of what the church should be doing. Next slide, please. So how are we going? How do we know we're doing a good job? Here's some metrics. I'm a huge evangelist, like, hands down. So first off, we would see conversion. This, and truly, like, let me just be clear. God's the one who changes people's hearts. We have to be faithful to the call that he has given us. But as we are faithful to him, as we seek to love people, places, and things, we would see him work mightily in people's lives and change them. So evangelism, like, we would see conversion. And secondly, we see a renewal of faith, where people are being reinvigorated. Their faith is being reinvigorated. And but if you talk to church planters, these are constants. Darren has seen this. Peter has seen this at Stillwaters. Jason has seen this in City Church. It's what Will hopes to see in Garnet Valley. It's what I've seen in Grove City and at Grace and Peace in Pittsburgh. And other things would include starting ministry initiatives by reaching the campus, by starting a fellows initiative for students who are still trying to discern their vocation, for taking the county seat, the courthouse, seriously. So we'd be starting ministry initiatives that just is faithful to our context. So those are some metrics that we would do just to follow this. And so, just to wrap this up, why do we do this? Why do we do this? Because we want to see God's kingdom come in Phoenixville, in Westchester, in Kennett Square, in Wilmington, in Delaware, in Thornbury, Downingtown, East West Goshen, Exton. We want to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we do this. Because Jesus is in the business of renewing all things. Behold, I am making all things new. At this moment, I'd like you to ask some questions. So what questions do you have for me? Yes, sir. RPC, why do I need RPC to do this? One, fundamentally, this is an imperative for me. God's been working in Westchester far beyond I ever moved here. So it's out of deep respect for what God has been doing that I'm here. And you're my sister church. We're in different presbyteries, but you're my sister church.
And so we have this deep conviction of deep theological integrity that just like demands the partnership. Like, we're the same spiritual family, organizationally as well as spiritually. So I know other church planners would come in and just kind of ignore our seat, but that's not me. Like, as soon as I moved to Kent Square, I met with a pastor, Andrew Smith. He's EPC. But a lot of friends said, hey, you should go meet this guy. And so I did. And he shared with me, like, hey, I heard of you, but I heard of you in this way. The PCA is planning a church in Kent Square. And I told him, like, that would not surprise me, but that's not going to be me. Because I have a deep respect for what God has been already been doing for years in a certain place. So I hope that answers your question.
I can add to it a little bit too, which is that, you know, this idea came about actually through Stan, right? So this is an idea that started actually with Stan. So from my perspective, this is an idea for RPC, right? So it's very much connected in that respect. This is not Ironworks wants to plant a church in Westchester, so let's figure out how to make it happen. This is, we want to plant a church somewhere. Stan has this idea, we connect really well over it, and we want to see, is God doing this? So, does that answer your question?
Right.
So what we're here considering is an extremely weighty
decision.
And we all, I guess, have to work on discerning God's will, right? And figuring out this is what the Lord has for us here. How would you, I guess, help us think through that and figure that out?
There's a challenge for me in that question because I do not know RPC that well. And I can really only share what my method would be. Like, because part of what God's been doing in my life for the past many years has been just figuring out where in the world is he calling us. Like, when I was in Pittsburgh, like, I thought he was calling us to plant a church in Churchill Borough. Nope. Then I thought he was calling us to plant a church in the north side of Pittsburgh. Nope. And I was like, well, Lord, where do you want me? And now I'm here. And so as soon as I stopped trying to, like, really steer the ship, that's when he led me here. And it took some work on my heart to get me to that point. But so within that, I would say, like, talk about this a lot. Listen a lot to one another. Pray about it more. And really try to discern how God is working among you. Like, from my angle, the reason why I'm interested in this is because Stan's question is completely separate from Darren's question, which is completely separate from mine. CCO's question is completely separate from that. And somehow, all these questions, all the people asking these questions are saying, what if they overlap? And that's actually why we're here tonight. And to me, that just, like, who was I talking to about this? I put this up on Facebook, so this is not a secret to anybody. I said, I'm really excited, yet a little nervous for this coming Thursday. And little is an understatement. But someone said, like, you know, just look at just how perfectly God has brought this together. Jigsaw puzzles don't come together this well. At least in my life. And so, like, just ask that question. Like, Lord, what are you doing? And so as I've talked with other spiritual counselors, like, because, like, as I shared earlier, we were looking at Rehoboth Beach. We were looking at other places. As soon as I shared the details of this Westchester plan, everyone said, that's what you should pursue wholeheartedly. Everyone said that. No one has said, don't pursue that. Like, it's, and I put myself before fathers and brothers and mothers and sisters of faith, and just
listen to that. So, Peter.
I'd like to just share, I've had the pleasure of working with Robbie for a year now in Kenton Square. And I've lived in Kenton Square about 10 years, and I feel like it's a mini version of Westchester. I love Westchester about 3 days ago, pretty much. And what I know of Robbie, what I know of Westchester, I feel like there's a lot to be won in that combination. He's got kind of a heart for a city or a small city. Think of Westchester as kind of a small city. And but he has a huge heart for evangelism. Really, really kind of re-inspired that at Stillwater. So we're a 10-year-old church at this point. And in the season of the church, we started to kind of turn a little too inward. And Robbie is just relentless in a very God-given way to just keep turning the church outward. He's never going to be stuck looking. And so, I don't know y'all very well, but if you're looking at a man who would kind of fit well with the place, to me that seems like a given. And you're looking for a man who's got a collaborative heart, not a domineering spirit. Some church planners are real, like, alpha male, like, you know, I'm going to do this, it's going to be awesome. And Robbie's very collaborative in his work. But also just is dead on saying we have to be here to bless and minister and share with Jesus Christ in this community. Otherwise, we're just a religious club, and I don't want to be part of that. Then I would just throw that out to you. I've only known him a year, but we've worked side by side for a year, so that's long enough to know someone. And I would just offer that up as you wade through kind of what is your step as a body. You know, I love you because we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I'll be praying as you go through this season of discernment.
But I want to
just share that
since
I'm here and I may
never
be here again.
Yes, Linda.
You're not going to like this question, but one of the concerns a lot of people at RPC have is the whole shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
So can you address why that's important and what you hope to be?
Yeah. And I can give it to you from my take, and I share this because not knowing really hardly anything about RPCNA, so it's coming out of my own experience, my own study of church planning, and so there are probably others who can more accurately speak to this, more pastorally, but I understand that. Like, I understand that concern. The fundamental calling of this church, there's three of them, but one of them is to worship together. Like, Hebrews, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. And so I understand that. The church needs to worship together. In my mind, there's a beauty in this plan that Darren proposed 2 months ago. But it actually says, let's keep worshiping together. We're just going to worship in a different location. Like, there's this commitment from a sister church that is honestly, I've only heard of what Ironworks is proposing in one other place in the PCA. To have a sister church adopt another church with a commitment of providing pastoral care, of providing a staff position to this pastor of that church, and to also say, we're going to replant you, and we're going to hire the church planner to do that. That's only happened one other place. And that was City View in Chicago. It was Aaron Baker to Dan Adamson, and Dan turned around and said no. And Dan closed City View down last November. And I was in Atlanta earlier this month because Dan and I were on review of Presbytery Records together. And I spent like 10 hours just picking his brain. I was just like, and from what Dan had shared with me and what I've learned from other, like from voices close to that, is that there does need to be a time to close down the church and just to really be introspective about your own hearts, to figure out what the Lord is doing, but also to grow in your being a missionary. And so, like, the closing season would be really used for that purpose. And I've shared this with Darren that my goal, so like next spring would be to see. My goal would be to see this core group development, training missionary rhythms to occur on Sunday nights next spring. So whenever, that's really what I would love to see. So Linda, I hope that answers your question.
I guess the question is, why do you see it? Are you saying it's important because so people have time to reflect and think about what we're doing here, et cetera?
Yes, but also to grow and be better missionaries, to be better witnesses, to establish new missionary rhythms. Asking the questions like, what non-Christians do I associate with? How often do I have people in my home? Am I practicing the way of Jesus? Like, Jesus came eating and drinking. He hung out with tax collectors and sinners. And when people accuse him of hanging out, of being a glutton and a drunkard, Luke did not even try to refute that accusation. So the question that I would have is, how can you establish new missionary rhythms, like eating with your neighbor, hanging out with non-Christians, and so forth, and so on? That would be my take. Yes, Darren.
So if I could just add a little bit to it, Linda, here's the bottom line. I love babies, okay? And babies need this thing called gestation in order to be healthy, right? Does anyone else love babies? I love babies. It's one of my favorite parts of being a pastor. It's getting to hold them and then give them back. Right? It's really nice. But in all seriousness, I'm absolutely committed to doing this right. And all of the experts agree that if you were going to do anything that has a new identity, right, you need time to establish that new identity. You have to. And even if you're, I appreciate Robbie's comments, but supposing you're here and you're the best missionary the world's ever seen, okay? You may not be the best missionary who's taken on the identity of what this new church is going to be. And that's what the gestation period gives you. It gives you time to become this new identity so that when you go out and engage in this, crazy thing called church planting, that has all sorts of spiritual warfare coming at you left and right, right? That has tremendous risk, that has uncertainty, that you can make it. And I look back on our core group time. We met in core group from approximately May to March, right? Absolutely critical. I assure you, if we had started worship in May, Ironworks Church would not exist. There's not one doubt in my mind. And likewise, I assure you that if you flip a switch tomorrow and become whatever new church, right, your chances of being successful go way, 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 way down. Right? Ed Stetzer, you can go read his book, Breakout Churches. He had a hard time writing the book because he could not find enough churches that met his qualifications of revitalizing apart from church planting. It was so difficult for him to do that. Nationwide, not just in the PCA. So, from my angle, talking with Bruce Finn, who coordinates church planning, talking with Robbie, we're just, it's so costly, I understand that. But we're so committed to it because we want to see this church be fruitful for the next, decade. And we see it as an absolutely integral part of being successful as a new identity, a new body. So does that help maybe answer? So, yeah.
Go back to Robbie.
Autumn?
One question I have. We have a pretty significant population of senior citizens in our RPC congregation. A lot of what I've read about the ministry sounds really great. One concern we do have is we really value multi-generational church, and they're wondering how how you specifically try to reach the older population in ministry.
Right. I'll just say that, so when I was at Grace of Peace, remember, 12 people my first Sunday, And we went through some tough times there. Literally, very tough. And for like 2 years, Jennifer and I, we had like the fourth longest marriage in the church. At that time, we were married for 4, 5, and 6 years. Let me just say that, like, there, I have this great value for fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers of the faith. I grew up in a country church where, like, I was blessed to have two adopted grandparents, and that meant the world to me as my father's an orphan. So with that respect, it's just like my methods would be very similar to almost any generation of really pursuing, sitting, and listening, and valuing their voice that and wisdom. That would be my method. So, like, pursuing the older generation, spending time loving, like, that's what Jesus would have done. And so that's why I commit myself to doing it. Chrissy. And that's a weakness in many church plants, because a lot of church plants don't have an older generation. And so that would be a wonderful gift of RBC in this scenario. Yes. So that would happen in a variety of ways. So as the doors here close, as you're worshiping up in Phoenixville, there'll be certain things that would occur. One of those, like, and it'll come after a few months, because frankly, to do this, I'd have to fundraise to do this fully. But there'll be a new web presence. There'd be other, like, radio ads on the radio. There would be door hangers. Then, like, as we live in community with one another, like, this is envisioning me moving to Westchester, living in community, being in community groups, getting to know our neighbors. That's me speaking for myself personally. But then also throwing parties. Like, I have this big vision of throwing a barbecue at my house later in August. And I really want to learn how to barbecue a whole hog. So if you know, let me know. If you know how to do it, teach me. But doing things like that, by, like, enjoying our place, enjoying our neighbors, having a good time doing that, enjoying our spiritual siblings, but also getting to know our neighbors who don't yet know Christ, and talking about a new church, creating excitement for it. And because if you are excited about your church and you incorporate your church life into your relationships with other non-Christians and vice versa, the word spreads very quickly, and you'll notice it very quickly. Sure. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, please.
Yeah, I did have a concern. I mean, coming to this church for many years, so I've since moved further away from the church already. So, I mean, for Phoenixville is out of the question for me, but the only concern is to go down for 1 year. I mean, we all pray for the situation. So if the church goes down, I'm just afraid that is there people that's going to join churches close by their homes or whatever? Are they going to come back after 1 year? I mean, what's your experience about that?
Good question. I would hope, and I would speak for Darren and Stan in this too, but I mean, that scenario, I believe we would still have conversations with people who would do that. I don't know all the churches up here. One I heard a few weeks ago was like Marsh Creek Community Church out north of Lineville in Downingtown. But so say you had to go there, or you wanted to go there for a year, as this was occurring. Great, there would still be communication in that scenario, and we would commit to working with you if you want to be a part of this renewed church plant. Then that opportunity is still always before you. So I say this, you know, saying because I want to talk to friends in other churches and friends from Kennett Square and other friends who live here in Westchester, and I want to say to them, hey, come be a part of this. Let's dream together too. So it's not just Phoenixville. Ought not to be the only church sending people to this. There should be other churches sending people too. And part of my role during that year would be to cultivate those relationships with churches to develop those sending teams, so to speak. Yes?
So, it seems like you've been a lot of churches. I'm just wondering, is there sort of like a time period that you're expecting to stay with RPC, you know, guide it along?
Right. So, this is, Jennifer is a hero. Jennifer has enabled me to take unconventional jobs. At every single church I've been at, I've been an assistant pastor. And in a church plan, an assistant pastor is pretty much a co-pastor with 12 people, so you can understand why. So in those churches, at Grace and Peace, at Stillwaters, and City Church, at those churches, I've been called. I was really called and really developing and learning and growing as a pastor and becoming and being prepared to church plan. And so I don't know the what the Lord's plans are for me in 5 years or 10 years, but as Jennifer and I end up talking about things, like, we would be here for the foreseeable future. I don't know what's coming in 5 years, but that would be our hope. I have a son coming on November 1st, and it would be pretty beautiful to say, hey, let's raise this kiddo up in Westchester. That would be pretty beautiful to say. Jason.
On one of the slides, I thought I recall something and said something about Fellows Initiative or something like
that. Yes.
Can you explain what the vision is for that and how it would help the mission of the church?
Yeah, that's one of those other crazy things that's going on in Chester County. Fellows Initiative was started by Falls Church. It's an Anglican church outside of Falls Church in Virginia. And it's a fellowship. It's a gap year program after college that is supposed to help students figure out how their faith impacts their vocation. And they are all across the nation. I have had former students do Pittsburgh Fellows. I've had another student do Trinity Fellows in Charlottesville, Virginia. But there's none. The nearest one is in Lewis, Delaware, but it's closing down. Besides that, there's nothing on the East Coast. And there's this movement in Chester County where there's this desire to see a fellowship initiative within Chester County. And again, it's one of those tiny little chess pieces that's like, and I learned that last week after I put that on that slide. So the fellowship initiative would just really provide an opportunity for people who just came to faith during college to really think through, what does Jesus have to do with education? What does Jesus have to do with public policy and whatnot?
And so would that be something where the experienced generation would be speaking into the lives of their younger
generation? Hey, I would love to say I have a wonderful plan for Stan's life. And he would be... Right. I think you're dead on right there. And my joke with Stan right there, for those who have not had the privilege of knowing Stan that well, a published author, well-respected teacher, and I think he would be, and a wise counselor, and I would love to see his gifts utilized that way. But I'm just Robbie. I'm not God, so I don't really have wonderful plans for Stan's life. But I'd love to see that. Thank you.
How do you, probably already talked about this a bit, but how do you foresee your roles as a pastoral team and how Ironworks will support and come alongside the people here? How do you see this, that happening?
It's a great question. I don't have an answer.
So, one of the things that's unique about this idea that I'm very excited about is the possibility of us forming this team, Stan, Darren, and Robbie, right? And one of the things that young churches struggle with is that, especially church plants, Stan could attest to this, that we have had a great number of pastoral moments and needs, even in our young church, even when we were small in size. But before Pastor John Orlando joined us, it was just me. And so churches have a need for multiple staff. You may have even felt it here, but they don't have the resources. So as I was brainstorming, thinking of this idea, the idea was, well, what if Stan comes on church at Ironworks for both campuses, right? His salary is kind of like shared between both campuses. And then we hire Robbie, who's on support, and then he, you know, over time becomes funded by the church, and Lord willing, that both churches grow to have this team. You know, it's a way to be creative, to find a pastoral team that really complements itself well. One of the other neat things about the approach is that, you know, having like a church that's, you know, working together, we already have a treasurer, for example, right? So we can, you know, do some of the things that church planners, you know, hate to do. We already have it kind of figured out. We have artwork done. Very nice artwork, and we can, you know, assist in other ways. So, you know, and if it happens, I mean, you'll be working overtime. So, Becky is our graphic designer, by the way, the logo. So, yes, sir.
Would you explain that graphic design, please?
Yeah, so the graphic design is the Phoenix Column. It's a cross section of what's called the Phoenix Column. Anyone know what that is? It's the young lady knows what that is.
Wow.
Wonderful. Okay. So the logo is, that's wonderful. The logo is the cross section of a 6-point Phoenix column. There's various iterations of it. And I found this online when we were forming the church. And I sent it to Becky and said, can you do anything with this? And she added the cross and made it look how it is today. And it's the first hollow load bearing beam in existence to put Phoenixville on the map. And there's, you know, other symbolism of the, you know, the pieces joining together of the cross in the middle. And I found out after we came up with this logo, years after, I went to an old restaurant that had been renovated. And when you walk in a restaurant, it's now a Latin fusion bar. Okay. Used to be a Mexican restaurant. Now it's a Latin fusion bar. I don't know what that is. But if you walk in on the upper right, you will see our logo. And inside of it, Phoenix Iron and Steel Company. I had no idea that we stole their logo. We just intuited it. But, you know, we feel like it resonates with not just Phoenixville, but with Westchester as well. We think that, you know, this history is a shared history. You know, and it's a biblical history, right? We often use the proverb, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And you heard that proverb come out in Robbie's vision for missional communities, right? That the mission of the church will be moved forward as people are living in intentional community with one another, being formed to be helpful and to be useful. Does that answer your question? Very good.
Is there any, it's, I'm going to be respectful of everyone's time. It's 8:40. Is there a last question to send us off for tonight? With that said, I'm not going to leave until everyone's questions are answered for me. So, if Stan lets that happen.
Yep, young lady in back.
There's no one else who has a question. So it struck me as you were going through the slides, how one might look at it and think, well, aren't all churches supposed to be about that? What makes that unique to Ironworks, right? We're all supposed to be these things. Don't we do that? So why do we need a church to come through it? And I kind of, I would appreciate it if you or Darren would speak to, like, for instance, growth through conversion and renewal. Like, that it being on paper, it just not gives you the sense of amazing things that you see happen, the excitement, the growth, the type of things that happen in a church. It's just different elsewhere. And it's just not communicated on paper. So I was just curious if you could speak to, in your experiences, why do you get so excited about building the kingdom? What do you see in church life that's different?
I brought a friend with me tonight. Her name's Hadley. Every single time I see Hadley, her hair is a different color. It's kind of beautiful. Hadley, could you stand up for a moment, please? I had the joy of leading Hadley to Jesus a few months ago. And so she and I continued to sit down together on at least once a week to talk about faith and what does it mean for Jesus to speak into your life. I love asking my non-Christian friends, like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And Hadley worked with a lot of Christians in the past. And I'm trying to think how you put this one time, how a person was very aggressive in regards to sharing the faith. You're like, hey, you should come to church and so forth and so on. Do you remember that conversation or specifics?
Yeah,
the last place you worked. But what I love about church plants, you get a clean slate, period. And that's just the beauty of it. I've seen that time and time and time again where there's just this clean slate where you just get to start from scratch. There's no baggage, there's no nothing. And you can just love people well, share the gospel, and Lord willing, you see Jesus, you see God doing a mighty work in your life like he's done in Hadley's life. And that's pretty beautiful. The story's not yet over for me, for her, or for anyone else. So, Hadley, thanks for standing up today. I hope that answers your question, Chrissy.
Yeah, I just think you were speaking about your father.
Right. Well, as I said earlier, I'm here tonight to answer your questions. So if you have more questions, please ask. Are we singing a song at the end, or do I have the joy of praying and sending us? Well, let me pray for you. And RPC, please know that you have my... I am cheering for you no matter what you decide. I'm for you. As Ray put it, you guys are weighing a heavy decision, and I truly cannot think of a heavier question. So I'm praying for you. But let me just pray for you and pray for us all as we leave this place tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you just for the fact that what brings us together is you. That we have people from different churches who are here tonight And we're here because of your love for us. And so, Father, as we're here and as we leave this place, help us to go and to love people well, to love others well, to love people, places, and things. And Lord, I ask that your Spirit would be at work in this congregation in a mighty and very powerful way, that you would help this congregation to see how you are afoot, to see how you are moving and working in Westchester and West Goshen and Downingtown and all throughout this area and even in their own hearts. So, Father, give this church that self-awareness, that spiritual discernment and awareness to see how you're working in their lives. And, Father, I ask that you would make it very clear to them what the next step is. As someone once told me, that you do not share your entire plan for our lives, but you do show us the next step. So be with this church. Show them the next step, no matter what it is. And give them the grace to follow you in obedience. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. And so let me just pray the benediction over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and give you peace. Amen.
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 Thank you very much for your time today.